Hi, you're listening to WYXR. My name is Kaylee Joe, and I'm the director of the upcoming production of The Night Witches at the University of Memphis. Here are a couple songs selected by our cast as their anthems for their characters, starting with one by Josephine Baker.
Je peux, si tu le veux, prendre quelques leçons et suivre les concerts symphoniques. Mais je trouve ça bien inutile, fatigant et difficile. Alors, si tu veux m'écouter, je vais faire un effort et je vais chanter. Je te dis que je t'aime sur trois notes, je te donne mon cœur sur quatre notes, je développe le thème et puis toute la gamme, je chante mon bonheur sur deux notes, je vais mettre caresse sur trois notes. Un amour frisson sur quatre notes, pourquoi pas nos ivresses, et puis toute la gamme, j'ai fini ma chanson. Quoi, tu trouves qu'elle est trop vite faite? Bien vois-tu, je suis déçue, j'en connais de beaucoup plus belles qui ont plus. Si tu veux que je te le prouve, écoute-moi sans fâcher, faut chercher jusqu'à ce qu'on y trouve un sens caché. Les deux notes, c'est ta vie et la mienne. Les trois notes, c'est nous et notre amour. Les quatre notes, sans nos mains qui se tiennent, et puis toute la gamme se traduit par toujours. Oh, combien ma chanson est belle, et combien elle est faite pour nous, car je t'aime et tu m'aimes toujours le même. Jusqu'au bout, sur deux notes, sur trois notes, sur quatre notes, et c'est tout.
Hi, I'm Kaylee Joe.
Hi, I'm Julia Kowalski, and I'm the scenic designer.
And we're here to talk to you about the University of Memphis's upcoming production of The Night Witches by Rachel Bublitz. This upcoming weekend, Thursday through Saturday at 7 p.m. and then Sunday and Saturday at 2 p.m. So, Julia, talk to us a little bit about what your role in the production is.
So, I am the scenic designer, which just means that I designed and helped to build and create the set that everything for the show takes place on. And Kaylee Joe, I was just wondering, why the show? Why The Night Witches?
So this is a script that I had found online a few years ago and brought with me when I moved to Memphis, hoping that I'd have the opportunity to work on it in the graduate program here. In the fall of 2024, I pitched it to the department. It's a female-centric cast. It has some really cool design opportunities. And it also provides the opportunity for some really interesting movement work, which I knew would be a unique opportunity. And because the story is about the true 588th all-female night bomber regiment of the Soviet Union, I knew that it would be a good opportunity for a lot of the female and femme-presenting actors of our program.
That's great.
Yeah, it also, it talks really to the strength of femininity within harsh circumstances. You know, one of our actors said something really beautiful early on of how being a soldier doesn't make you any less of a woman, and being a woman doesn't make you any less of a soldier. And of course, what we understand to be, you know, traditional femininity is different from the way that a lot of our actors live and work and how we see things today. But it's been a really fun challenge to sort of look at what the specific presentation of gender was like during this time and place in history and culture, and figure out how do we present gender in that way, as opposed to a lot of the gender fluidity that we have the freedom to use in our day-to-day lives today.
Exactly. I love that. And I really tried to replicate and visualize that in the scenic design as well, through fabric and soft good elements to help portray the softness of femininity, as well as the strength that it can have, contrasting with the harshness that the war has, in order to also really help get across the jewel box picture magical world that they've maybe created around themselves to help get through their everyday lives while surrounded through in this horrific war scene.
Yeah, within the text, you know, these characters are based on historical record, but it is a piece of historical fiction. But some of the real things that they do is spend a lot of time embroidering and, you know, talking about their legacies and the way that they made their world their own in order to survive their circumstances. And that was something that you and I had conversations about early on, and we really fell in love with this idea of intentionally making things special. Like in the actual historical record, the real Night Witches, they spent a lot of time embroidering, you know, their uniforms and things, and they brought a kitten along with them. And the ways that softness became a unique strength to their unit is something that really resonated. And it's been beautiful to see how that's developed through your scenic designs as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the other visual elements?
Yes, see that in? Absolutely. We definitely see that through our costumes as well as our wigs in the show. In the wigs, they have beautiful braided hair or curls, specifically this one character, as people will see in the show. And we also see that through the folk culture that is illustrated in not only the scenery, but as well as the costuming. And we really wanted to incorporate that to help get the culture that they hold near and dear to their hearts through patchwork art and embroidery that would have carried through into the Soviet Union, as we can see in the very geometric art forms that are there in the time. And in the costuming, our lovely costume designer, Liz or Alyssa Rieger, she really wanted to focus in on some of the mythological elements that are within Russian folklore in order to really get across some of the different relationships that the women not only had with each other, but also with their personal relationships with the war that they were going through.
Right. That's what is one of the things that's so fascinating about this specific military unit, is that, so the true story is that a woman named Marina Ryskova petitioned Stalin at a rally and said that there are these women who are at home who we can train, and they want to fight, and they want to join in arms for this cause that they believe in, because, you know, for them it was so much about that ideology and that connection to, you know, Slavic and Russian identity. And I think that that's come across really strong in Liz's use of mythology as sort of a personal motivation for each character. And it's also been a way for us to discover, you know, how do we make these characters who are, you know, based on a few different historical records, full realized people. So yeah, let's listen to another one of our character building anthems.
Everyone falls in love sometimes. Sometimes it's wrong and sometimes it's right. For every win, someone must fail. But there comes a point when we exhale, yeah, yeah. Say shoot, 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 baby. Do, shoot,
Welcome back to WYXR. We're here from the University of Memphis to talk about the Night Witches. This is Julia, the scenic designer, and I'm with Kaylee Jo, our director.
Now, Kaylee Jo. I was just going to say, you can catch our production this upcoming Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Edward and Bernice Humphreys Theater Building on the main stage at the University of Memphis.
Kaylee Jo, this show is quite physically laborious. You worked very closely with Neil Martin, our choreographer. How did that process go?
Yeah, so pretty early on, you know, in the script, it says the women become the plane. And I really got attached to that idea. So we knew that there was going to be a physical theater component to this. I'd spent the last year before rehearsal started doing independent studies and directing seminars, sort of training in different physical theater and movement styles to know sort of what I liked and how to talk about the things I wanted. And when it came time to begin the rehearsal process, I knew that I wanted to incorporate movement styles that were similar to kind of what the Frantic Assembly group does. Which is a lot of like really imaginative lifts and weight sharing and really cool things that way. And I also knew that if I wanted to give this production the ability to kind of serve as this love letter and monument to the actual Night Witches and their strength, that I didn't want kind of like slouchy actors on stage portraying them as soldiers, right? So Neil is phenomenal. I've loved working with her on this. I'd say at the end of December, early January, we got together and decided that the actors needed to be sort of kind of put through a little bit of a boot camp for 5 weeks before rehearsal. They had a really intensive physical training program that ended up, I think by week five, was like 60 push-ups, 80 burpees, 2.5 miles, really intense work every day. But it's really paid off, the things that they're able to do, not only in selling the given circumstances of how physically strong these women were, but how they're able to use their bodies and movement to communicate some of the images of flight and combat on stage. They've really worked so hard, and their growth for this experience has been incredible. So I'm very proud of them. I've loved working with Neil on the type of choreography you see. I'm hesitant to give too much away, but the way that we're able to use bodies to put the plane in flight and to tell the story of some of the explosions of these planes is really incredible. So yeah, let's talk plane, shall we?
Absolutely. So the plane that we see in the show is based off of the Soviet Polikarpov PO2 plane, which was originally designed as a training plane or also an agricultural plane. And yet these planes were brought fully into combat along the Eastern Front by this all-woman, all-female group of bomber pilots. And when they would fly these planes and how they got their name, the Night Witches, from the Nazis, is that they would actually turn off their engines when coming close to their their target locations, and you would only hear the wind going through the cables holding their biplane wings together, creating a whooshing sound very similar to a witch's broom. And that was all that their opponents had to go off of, knowing that they were coming close before the bombs hit them. And this was not only physical warfare, but psychological warfare on their enemies. And so in order to create that, we really wanted to have some sort of physicalization of the plane on stage. In previous productions, they have been very minimal with this, really relying on the women's bodies. With our production, though, Kaylee Jo, you and I, we wanted to honor the plane, I feel like, a little more for the role that it played, just as much as the role that the women played, because they do talk very fully in the script on how it was just pretty much plywood and canvas
and bolts and screws. Yeah.
That held it together, and that it would catch fire just from some ground bullets hitting it and could be taken down fairly easily. And so we wanted to honor what it was, and we managed to come up with this beautiful conceptualization of it that if you come see the show, you will get to fully see. But it has the body of the plane on stage, but you are able to still see our pilot and our navigator in their entirety, and the women of the cast manage to, or the rest of the female soldiers and the rest of the cast members make up the rest of the plane minus the bottom plane wing. And they really help us take off and leave the ground in conjunction with the incredible elements added by our lighting designer, Anthony Pelecchia. We truly could not fully leave the ground the way that we do in this space without his help. This show is truly a miraculous collaboration between all of the departments, and I feel as though if any one of us were putting in any less effort, it would not be as beautiful and magical and horrific and devastating as it is.
Right. The design process for this was so thrilling and challenging and ultimately so rewarding, to sit around the table with, you know, graduate students, undergraduate students, and faculty who have such extremely illustrious careers, and to say sort of, how do we get a plane off the ground in our main stage space? So
without physically lifting it off the ground.
It's kind of all come down to some really beautiful and intense movement, some scenic puppeteering and physical design. Like you spoke to our lighting visual elements, our sound designer, Rowan Sullivan, this is her MFA thesis. Yes. And one of the things that we've worked on is building a vocal life to the plane as well. So when the women physically become the plane, they sonically become the plane as well, sort of doing a kind of live vocal foley with the plane sounds. And Rowan's use of environmental sound to supplement that and underscoring is really just outstanding. So
I remember during tech you kept saying, I just want to slap the bugs off my legs. I feel right? like I'm getting bug bites.
Because a lot of this play, you know, takes place outside in an airfield. And I kept thinking like, man, this does feel like late summer outside. What makes this night, this evening, significant within the story? The play chronicles the night of the most casualties that the 588th Night Witches Unit ever faced. So it was the night that the German forces kind of figured out how to compete with what the Night Witches were doing. Mm-hmm. Previously, these PO2s, these agriculture planes, were too slow for the opposition's forces to catch up with, because they would just keep lapping and keep lapping. But this night chronicles the use of flight with their in-flight combat with German fighter jets. So those combat scenes are just a technical marathon and such a feat for the university. It's so cool. I want to give a shout out to our stage manager, Jace Morse. He's one of our undergraduate students. And the work that he is able to do with all of these elements, you don't always get to hear it or see it in a production, but, you know, there would be none of these magical moments if there wasn't somebody who knew the details well enough to say, okay, now this element go, this element go, with such musicality. And I'm extremely proud and grateful to have gotten to work with him on this experience.
You never notice a stage manager if they're doing their job correctly. Very similarly to almost all of the technical elements, but especially the stage manager. You only notice the stage manager if they have done something wrong. And so it really speaks well if you have no clue that they are there at all. And that is truly what Jace is getting at, is you just have no clue that he is doing anything when you are watching the show, because so many of the lighting and sound cues seem to go off without a single hitch.
The technical elements of this production are so incredible, and they really allow our actors to fully live in this imaginative and extreme world in a way that is creating such beautiful experiences. So let's listen to a couple more of our actors' anthems. They're sort of theme songs that they've chosen for their characters and what they feel it's like to live within this world. Welcome back to WYXR. I'm Kaylee Joe.
Hi, I'm Julia Kowalski.
And we're here talking The Night Witches by Rachel Bublitz this upcoming weekend at the University of Memphis on the Edward and Bernice Humphreys Theater Building main stage. So I want to talk a little bit, Julia, for those of you just catching in, about how we put a World War II era Soviet plane on stage.
Yes. So, in terms of physically building this plane, we did a lot of trial and error when it came to approach, though the genius behind it really comes from our technical director, Michael O'Neill. He is truly a genius. He's been with U of M, I'm pretty sure it's going on 30 years now, if not more. And he is just truly a wealth of knowledge. He came up with the idea that for the main body of our plane to use PVC. And so that creates sort of this skeletal structure that supports the plane. And we bent the PVC in some spots in order to make it fit the smooth curves that the planes would have. Mm-hmm. And then we glued it all together with some PVC cement and then added our layers of paint in order to make it look the way we want it to look. In terms of the wings of the plane, we used plywood, which is very fitting since that is what the real planes were made out of. And then we used for the structures supporting them, as well as the main structure of the pilot and navigator seats of the plane, a welded structure, which the welded structure for the seats was actually done by one of our undergrads, Cheyenne McDonough, and this was her first big welding project. And so I'm just very proud of her for having had that opportunity and having performed it so well. And so that is some of the elements of how we did our plane, and we have our curving wings, because for those out there who may not know, which it was a shock to me when I found out, you can actually get plywood that bends. And I was kind of shocked that that was something that exists, bendy ply, as they call it. But it has been a fantastic, useful tool, and it actually gives the wings of the plane a look as if it is stretched canvas underneath, so that when the actors move on it and stand on it, while it is a safe and strong surface for them, it does have some give to it, which I feel like almost aids in some of their movement with giving them some flexibility, but it also just gives the audience that look of these planes may collapse at any moment, truly. And then in terms of the general set as a whole, one of the other major defining elements of the set is this fabric drop that we have in the back that is a farmland mountainous landscape, that the way we created it is through patchwork quilting together a bunch of sourced fabric pieces that we already had in stock. So we tried to be as sustainable as possible while we were doing the entirety of this project, just because sustainability is the main goal with all of our productions. And, or maybe not the main goal, but is a huge goal. And it also ties kind of back into one of our earlier conversations about the folklore and folk culture of that, those communities there, and how patchwork and patchwork art was such a huge element of not only their blankets, but also their clothing. And they would, it truly was a piece of art in the Russian Soviet era. And so patchworking these mountain landscapes together not only tied back into the folklore of it all, but it also gives it this farm landscape look, because for anyone who's been up in an airplane and looks down at the land below them, it does kind of have that patchwork quilt look to it of farmland squares crisscrossing across the land.
Yeah.
And so we really just wanted to replicate that in our drop. And that element really also helps us get up and into the sky.
So as we're talking about the plane and some of these other physical elements, I've seen, you know, not full productions, but photos of other productions of this show where, you know, there's a couple benches on stage. In the script, it even describes that, like, a suggestion of maybe there's just benches, and it's a lot more about, like, just the bodies in space. Do you want to talk a little bit about how we came around to actually kind of putting a plane on stage and the visual kind of vocabulary that we're using?
Yeah. So I feel like, sorry, my brain is working a little slow at this moment. We really wanted to create an actual structure in order to give the female soldiers this true support system to work off of so that they could truly climb out of the cockpit of the plane and onto the wings in order to drop the bombs. And we knew that the imagery of the plane, while it could be minimized in a way that we used more of their bodies to communicate the elements of the plane, that the women themselves are more than just the planes that were them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. It's like the discussions we've had about, you know, the plane and other war machines and militaristic elements being the world that is sort of imposed on them, right? Like, yes. There are these grounding elements throughout the production. What's really significant to me about the script is the way that they are able to use their femininity and like socialized kind of female behaviors as a strength in almost romanticizing their circumstances in a way that motivates them to complete their actions. So for me, I thought a lot about the idea of what is the world that they are in versus what is their world, you know?
Yes. So
the plane feels like one of those things that is in their world, but, you know, that patchwork backdrop and these beautiful swathed curtains are the world that they are living in within their own kind of unit, really highlighting the heroism of what's going on.
Yes. And the going into the world that they've been given, which is this war and the war machines, the plane is something that has been injected into these women's stories. And we really wanted to be able to separate them and honor them almost in a separate way from the war and what was going on around them, which what they were able to do with the plane is so important, but they are more important than the plane itself, and it's truly what they did with, as you were saying, the tools of the plane. And so by having the body of the plane and the lower wing physicalized on stage, but then the women make up the upper wing and the navigator and the pilot, it helps portray more that the women are the reason that the planes were able to get off the ground.
Yes.
They were leading the charge in getting the planes off the ground. And through the war scenes, we only really see any destruction to the plane in any sort through how the women who make up the top wing, how those characters and that group of cast members are physicalizing it in their plane movements.
Yes.
And so it really serves to separate everything that the women in these divisions did and their actions, and how it is so much more than just being soldiers in a war, but physically the choices that they made in the war.
Yeah. I think one of the great examples of this, to again talk back about our costuming and the work that Liz has done, So obviously they're issued uniforms, right? And we know from the historical record and also within this text that embroidery is a big part of the culture within the Night Witches. Mm-hmm. So she's extended some of the embroidery that they would do on tactile objects to like sort of the hems of their sleeves and the hems of their pants, a way that they are pulling something that was inserted into their world into their world.
Mm-hmm.
Another way that, you know, we've really been looking to highlight the individuals within these circumstances is through the work that I've been able to do with the actors. So I'm personally trained really heavily in the viewpoints and composition technique, which is an acting technique that prioritizes agency and the creative collaboration ability of the actor. So I'm able to do a lot of that work with my cast, allowing them to determine, you know, how not only these characters react within these circumstances, but how to inform those choices through how they move. When they breathe in, where does that sit? How is their posture? How is their stance?
Mm-hmm.
They have had a lot of opportunity to really take ownership over building these characters. Some of them are based on historical records of actual women. Some of them are kind of like a pastiche of things we know about, you know, different Tatianas that served within the unit, kind mm-hmm. of make up one Tatiana within our play, and some of them are completely original by Rachel Bublitz. So our actors have really had such an opportunity to not only be, you know, building the physical life of these characters, but being able to make a lot of choices and be collaborative in determining how to portray them as individuals as well, in our efforts to highlight not only their contributions to the war through the plane, but also, you know, how incredible I think it is the way that they were able to bring themselves to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's listen to a couple more of, if you're just listening in, I asked my actors to determine what sort of their anthem or their theme song for their character would be. So let's check one more of those out.
Thank you. birds singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbirds singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly. Blackbird.
Bags last night, pre-flight, 0 hour, 9 a.m.
Which one is the one?
Hi, welcome back to WYXR. My name is Kaylee Jo.
I'm Julia Kowalski.
And we're wrapping up here talking about the Night Witches at the University of Memphis this upcoming weekend, Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m., Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Edward and Bernice Humphreys main stage on campus. So I've got my scenic designer here, and we've just been talking a little bit about all the things we love about the Night Witches by Rachel Bublitz. If you haven't been able to tell, Julie and I are best friends in real life, so this has just been... such an awesome experience to get to kind of girl out about all of the badass things that these women did, and having this experience together has been so awesome. So I really hope that you all find the chance to come out and see all of the work that so many talented individuals have put into this production over the last few weeks. Julia, any last thoughts?
Ooh. When you come see the show, wear your best war boots, wear some nice little green eyeshadow if you've got it, and you'll blend right in.
Yeah, if you like stars and good music and cool movement and badass women and exploding warplanes, then make sure you come see the Night Witches this upcoming weekend at the University of Memphis. I'm Kaylee Jo, I'm the director of the production.
And I'm Julia Kowalski, and I'm the scenic designer.
And thank you for listening to WYXR as we talk Night Witches. To end us out, here is what I consider to be my Night Witches anthem.
Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.